Pastor Steve was wondering if John Boer is going to play basketball. Actually, he can't, right? He can't. He can practice, but he can't play because he wasn't here long enough, a semester or whatever. He's going to practice with the team. This is the offering, right? It's the offering. Yes. Trapper story. Actually, I got a few of those. Hunting stories, the glory of God, the instincts of animals are, Rich Perch knows a lot about that, but just the instincts of animals declare the amazing glory of God. If you've ever deer hunted and you realize like you're downwind from a deer, they can't smell you because the wind is not blowing into their nose. But if you're upwind and your scent goes into the nose of a deer, the deer like looks at like this, and it doesn't matter like how much camo you have on, or it just turns around, it just like whew, looks at you, and you like, how did it find me? And it's because of its nose. And I was thinking of that, and just how the glory of God, many things about that, but just about revelation. Because I was actually thinking about a verse that Pastor Beery preached on a long time ago, and I didn't actually remember it correctly. Actually, it's in Ecclesiastes about a tree falling, you know, north or south, you know. But I'm not going to tell the whole story, but what we can find out, okay, just here's the question. Here's the question. If a tree fell, just say, in the middle of the woods of Gunpowder today, or a couple of days ago, because does that matter to your life? Did that change anybody's life? If it fell in Gunpowder? Did it change anybody's life? Did anybody know what happened? And this is what I want to say about the Holy Spirit. It matters. It matters because God wants to share with us secrets that everybody else discounts and says, that doesn't have any value that fell out there. And the Holy Spirit can amplify that truth, that event, that happening, and he can make it glorious for our souls. We discover incredible mysteries from God that nobody knows, thinks it's irrelevant, that tree fell out in the middle of Gunpowder. Nobody saw it. But we can be revealed that secret through the Holy Spirit. And it matters in the eternal kingdom of God. And that's kind of what I was thinking, just like you know, with the deer and the nose. It's like so sensitive. So sensitive. And, you know, we would just like walk back, you know, and the deer is 250 yards away. And it is so sensitive. And we can live like that in sensitivity to God. And I just, the other thing about, I was thinking Job's friends and Job, just Elihu, just like when he counseled Job, all the other counsel was right. It was all right from Job's three friends, you could say. The problem was it was egocentric. It was about I. I was the center. Even Job, when he counts himself, it was about I. You know what changed everything? When God got the glory. All of a sudden, everything changed and counsel's like, you know, it's like Job has a couple chapters in there. Elihu has a few chapters in there about nature and just about the nature of God. it's just like all of a sudden God, when God becomes like, I don't even want to say like big, when God becomes infinite, we say big, but it's like infinite. We can't, it's like we try to relate to it as a person, but when he becomes infinite, then everything else changes. God doesn't become big. That's just a human word. And it's like egocentric word. When God becomes infinite, everything else changes in our lives. And it's like all of a sudden, like where did time go? Where did all the measurements that we have in the world go? They disappear. Every measurement just disappears. You know, comparing ourselves, that even disappears. The worseness of my sin disappears when you compare it to the blood of Jesus Christ. It's gone. Where did it go? Some lady in the street in Baltimore yesterday said the word Jesus, and my ears they turned. It was like I haven't heard that word for said like that, and the Holy Spirit was all she just said. Yeah, Jesus woke me up. I was like, she said the word. And it's like, God was so big. So, that's our offering. You got to be kidding me. That's our offering to God. Like, you know, like, yeah, I was a missionary for 12 years in Germany. What a terrible identity. What a terrible identity. I hope my life is bigger than that. I hope it's eternal. It sounds like a pretty small world. I was a missionary in Germany for 12. Let's have big lives, big lives. And the other thing is, we have a stake. We have a stake. My dog, Buster, he had a stake. He had a big chain on it because he had a thick neck. He had powerful legs. You know what? He couldn't break that chain. But every piece of grass all the way around him was worn out. And that's the way we live. We were chained. We love that. We just eat up. Just tear up all that freedom that God has given us inside of there. You know, if you just have a little bit of, you know, dirt path around, we just exhaust everything that God has given you around. Leave no blade of grass standing. Just leave it all dirt. That whole circle around that chain was just all dirt. When it rained, it was mud. Because that's like liberty. So our offering today is not our offering to God. God's eternal. It just changes the way we think. We think like that. That song we sang, Leaves the 99. Wow, rescued by God again, Gary. Wow, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We have a chain. It's like the stake. It's like the church. It's right there. We're not wanderers. We're not wandering around. We have stake. Father, bless this offering to your glory, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.
Okay. You know, find your seat. Come on down front if you can. Proverbs chapter 4. We have a sermon series. Great, thank you. Wow, that's great. Wow. We have a sermon series, Embracing Truth. New Year's, God keeps the garden. He keeps us. God keeps us, John 17. And then we keep the Garden of Eden that God gave man to keep the garden. And then we keep our families. We keep our convictions. We keep our love with the love of God that God loves us with. We are keepers. We keep life. We respect what God does and who God is because he is God. And we have a principle, a couple of them to mention this morning, and then our text. Go to Proverbs chapter 4, please. Father, we give this session service as Pastor Gary said so wisely. We worship you because you are way beyond us. We worship you because you love us way beyond anything we could ever imagine. Your ways are way beyond our reason and our understanding. We have seen your hand in our lives many ways, many times. We love you. We praise you for your gospel message of everlasting love for us. Thank you, God. Bless the Greater Grace pastors in America, Houston, Miami, up in Maine, Bailey, Toronto, Niazi, Irada, Ivan, Obed, James Adidas, Jack Wheatley, Don Barnes, Pastor Drew, Bob Schwartz, Paul Paul, Rhonda Lewis, Ray Kosiolik, Kevin Lewis, Sterling Johnson, Tom Smith, and Culpepper, many of our precious people, Pastor in New Orleans, John Perkins in Las Vegas, many of our sisters and brothers. Bless, Lord, these thoughts in your name. Amen. Verse 1, chapter 4. Hear, you children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. I give you good doctrine, forsake you not my law. I give you good doctrine, good word. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. Who is speaking? What's the name of the speaker? Solomon. What's his father's name? David. What was his mother's name? Bathsheba. Very good. Let's read it again. I was my father's son. David was my father. Tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother, Bathsheba. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words. Keep the words. Retain them. Retain words. Keep my commandments and live. One point I want to make, a doctrinal point that's interesting, and this is just a sketch to save me from doing a lot of explaining and talking. And we can say God, do I write in this one? Yeah, this one. God, oops. Okay. God is almighty. Okay, there we go. Thank you. God is almighty, and evil is some thing different from God. Evil did not come from God, and it is not part of God. There's another worldview about God, and it's something like this. God is, and there's both good God, and there is evil. And in a way, they are equal. This is called dualism. Equal in their power, equal in their existence and essence. But this view is not our view. For God always has been, and evil has not always been. God has all power, evil does not have all power. In God is no darkness at all. He doesn't delight in it. He doesn't think it. It's not in his nature. It's not in his character. What came from Lucifer, the angel, who, when he became evil, was separated from God, and then he propagated his message in heaven. And how many angels fell? 1, 2, 3, out. 1, 2, 3, out. 1, 2, 3, out. If you do that a million, millions of times, how many millions of angels fell and became this evil government that is on this planet? Is it on other planets? Apparently not. Hebrews 2:5. It looks like it is only here. Ephesians 2, verse 2. He is the prince of the power of this planet, the cosmos creator or world ruler, the deceiver. Now, I read this interesting piece. The analogy of an author writing a play may help us grasp how both aspects can be true. It'll explain it. In the Shakespearean play Macbeth, Macbeth murders King Duncan. Who killed King Duncan? Well, Macbeth did. On one level, the correct answer is Macbeth. Within the play, he carried out the murder, and he is to be blamed. But on another level, a correct answer to the question, who killed him, would be William Shakespeare, because he wrote the play. He caused the death. He created all the characters in it, and he wrote the part where Macbeth killed King Duncan. It would not be correct to say that because Macbeth killed King Duncan, William Shakespeare did not cause his death. Nor would it be correct to say that because William Shakespeare caused King Duncan's death, Macbeth did not kill him. Both are true. On the level of the characters in the play, Macbeth 100% caused the death. On the level of the creator of the play, William Shakespeare caused the death. In similar fashion, we can understand that God fully causes things in one way as the creator, and we fully cause things in another way as creatures. So there's an analogy for you to think about. There's a reason why I bring this up, and it is because it highlights for me the nature of God being so gracious and loving that in an evil world, and we can make this little piece here, that this world is the world of Satan and it is the world of man. Yes, and God. Yes, God. But not in the sense that God is evil, but in the sense that God is wise, in the sense that God in his knowledge and wisdom designed the world in such a way that we would continually wonder, you would ask the question, and what is really at the heart of this plan? In a sense, there is God's nature revealed in this plan. And this, we can put here, is love and wisdom. And in another, and it would, another issue here is man's heart. The heart of man. Because in the world that we are living in, there is evil here. But there's also, by God's grace, his plan of grace. And he came into this world, an evil world that rebelled against him, living in sin, in a state of rebellion. And that God, in his wisdom, manifested his love toward us at great expense. He came, humbled himself, and lived in an evil world. When we say evil world, I don't want to downplay the meaning of that. It's an evil world. You scratch the surface of it, and you find that the heart of man is very evil. The heart of man is wrong, in a state of unbelief, in a state of rebellion against God. God lost a third of the angel. It seems to me like a very large number. We could even, if for the sake of argument and thought, just think of this, that this world, let's make it different, that this world that God made, here's God, and God made the world, he lost. It became evil, and he lost a third of the angels. What if he had lost like 99% of the angels? You know, 99% of the angels. You would think God failed. He didn't. We just don't understand reality. We don't understand the nature of the thing. Well, it's radically serious when it's this percentage. That's a lot. And to think that this world crucified Christ, that this world cannot receive or understand or know the mind of God, it must be revealed to us. This is amazing. That God would reveal himself to us and that we would be in this world somehow understanding and knowing the nature of things. The nature of it. And when we read this chapter, Proverbs 4, Solomon is saying that he was taught by his father and instructed, and there is a reason for it. Verse 4, he taught me also and said, let your heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live. But I'm afraid we might think of the word commandments as like the Ten Commandments, or, and they are. But when Jesus said, when he came at the Sermon on the Mount, he said, you have heard it's been said in old time, but I say unto you. He kind of, you know, you take dehydrated food and you pour water on it, and it's the same food, but now it's like, I can eat it. And when Jesus said, you have heard in old time, but I say unto you, he is, the Spirit is speaking, And this is what we love about our fellowship, that the Spirit would speak and we would understand and increase and realize how privileged we are, that there's great loss in reality. In reality, God lost the human race. Adam and Eve sinned. In reality, there is heaven and there is hell. It's amazing. And in reality, I'm afraid that sometimes as believers, we may hear something, but the writer is saying, embrace. Embrace it. It's written here. Look at verse 5. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Wisdom about the fall. Wisdom about the end times. Pastor Ben is coming the end of this week. And he's coming from Israel and speaking here about Israel and the end times for the week. He's going to be here for the whole week in the classroom, in the chapel here. We'll have a great time with him through the week. And this is why, verse 5, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. It is amazing when it comes to our heart and we get it. It relates to this contest, the meaning of this, the great tragedy of reality, the great tragedy of the loss, the great tragedy of death and guilt, the great tragedy of pride and rebellion. It's so powerful. It's so tragic. This is tragedy. I'll put here, tragedy. I don't know if I spelled it right. You might say, well, people say, why would God do this? Why would God do this? Well, there's a fine line between him doing it, he authoring it so it would be allowed to happen, but he not being the evil. He is not death. He is life. He is not pain. He is the comforter. He is not foolish or rebellious or illogical. He is wise. He is great. He is our Heavenly Father. He is the way, the truth, the life. He's the answer. But this is tragic. So what does he say here in verse 5? Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Truth keeping me. But it relates to this too. Which one? This little picture. The nature of God is to keep us. And the nature of my heart is to receive that. The nature of God is to save me. And the nature of my heart is to worship. The nature of God is to come into my trouble. And the nature of my new heart is to respond to that truth. The truth will set me free. The truth will liberate me. The truth will draw me. And this is love. In God, this is beautiful. There is nothing. God delights in this. I like this. He enjoys or delights in making himself known. It gets confusing because of the pain that we think that this is from him. But this was not originally from him. He has no delight in our suffering. He has no delight in our guilt or our pain. He remembers we are dust, and he pities us like a father pities his children. In Psalm 103. And when Jesus comes, it's like party time. He is like revealing the Father. He's like showing us the Father. He walks, Peter walks on the water. Jesus feeds and heals and raises the dead. And he's saying, do you see? My Father is not death. My Father is life. My Father is not guilt. My Father is forgiveness and freedom. My Father is not delighting in your demise. My Father has provided for you all the means by which you can know him, his nature, and his character. But somehow it seems we have to get, look at verse, it's like 5, 6, and 7, and 8, then that's where we'll finish. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, she shall preserve you. Love her, she shall keep you. The Bible, but not only the words of the Bible, but the spirit of the Bible. The Bible, the life of the Bible, the freedom in the Bible, the nature of God in the Bible. Then verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. We could ask this list I have written down here. Ask Noah, what's the principal thing? He would say, wisdom. Noah, we could interview Noah. What's the principal thing? Wisdom. I need to know what God is saying. I need to believe him. I need to act on it. I need to embrace it. He leads me and guides me in my life. Noah, what's the principal thing? It's the wisdom. It's the understanding. It's the belief in him. Abraham, what's the principal thing? Wisdom. What do you mean? I left home. I needed to go out on my own and find my way. But really, I didn't feel it was my way. I actually felt it was God, that God was leading me. And I brought my relatives. You know, the scripture said Abraham was to leave his kindred. But what did he do? He brought Lot with him, his nephew. Technically, he shouldn't have done it, but he did it. And sometimes in our life, this is how we are. We may obey God partially. We may obey God in part. But the point ultimately at the end of the day is to find out and to know wisdom. It's the principal thing. This book is at the center, is the five wisdom books at the center of the Bible, right at the heart of the Bible. Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. We could ask Joseph, when you were in Egypt, Joseph, what was the principal thing? He would say wisdom. Wisdom taught me to forgive my brothers, though that was a confusing thing because they were evil, but God used it. But Joseph, did the evil come from God? No, the evil did not come from God. It came from my brothers. But God is God. He is the Almighty God. Yes, he allowed it. But it's not in his heart. God does not have evil in him. And if we love God and the wisdom of God comes into our life, then we're able to say, like Joseph, well, Joseph, what was the most important thing in Egypt, it was God's wisdom. I interpreted the dreams. I got out of prison. I got the key to the jail. I built silos in Egypt. We ended up possessing the whole country, everybody's land, everything. I became a wealthy leader. How did you do it? God did that. God gave me the wisdom, and my father moved down, and I saved the whole family. I got it. There is something that God wants to say to the whole church everywhere in the world, and that is to get God and his wisdom that is in this book and forsake her not. It will preserve our life. It will carry us even when we make our mistakes and fumble along in our life. We'll never forsake God because God is the ultimate answer. The logical decision, I was had another meditation last night, I'll share it with you here, and it is sin is essentially illogical. And I'll put here also, evil is essentially illogical. It doesn't make sense. But people do it all the time. And even in the face of the obvious, they can't help it. They do it anyway. They can, but they refuse to because they are actually, there's a word for it. It's called foolish. That's me. I do stupid things when I know I shouldn't do them. When I know the end result is a needle in my arm laying in the woods dead. When I know that's going to result in a disaster in my family and I do it anyway. When I know that that this alcohol and driving does not mix, but I do it anyway. And so on. You know what I mean. It's illogical. Sin doesn't make sense. When Adam and Eve did, when Adam, it was emotional. It was just illogical. When Almighty God, the Creator, is saying, don't eat of the tree, it's so simple. Don't eat of the tree. I said so. I am God, period. This is the nature of what we're talking about, of the world we live in. And you know, here it says something very simple, and it's here, verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Do a little study today. Nehemiah, what was the principal thing? Ezra, what was the principal thing? How did you get through your trial? Job, what was the principal thing? Esther, what was the principal thing in your life? And Ruth, and Isaiah, and Jeremiah. What was the principal thing? It's in verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all you're getting, get understanding. Well, let's finish with that. I think verse 8. All you're getting, like you folks came this morning, regardless of the weather. You know that phrase, it's so cold outside, there's nothing out there except crows and Methodist preachers. They are out there, the faithful servants that are out there in the snow and the storms preaching and visiting their churches. The Methodists did it, and we also do that. Embrace that way and think about this getting. With all your getting, whatever it costs, whatever money it costs, whatever sacrifice and time and talent and opportunity, with all your getting, with every fight in you, with all the guts you got, with all the strength you have, get wisdom. With all the whatever it costs you, It costs you your girlfriend. I remember living in Hungary where Zsombor is from, and some girlfriend and guy would come into the church, and one of them would get saved. And then they're like torn. The other one doesn't want to come, and the other one wants to come. And then the guy has to make a decision. Do I want God? Do I want the church? Do I want to grow in this? Or do I want my girlfriend? This verse says, with all you're getting, get wisdom. Whatever it costs you. Okay? See you later, alligator. It's over, apparently. If you want to meet me, you can meet me in the church in the back. If you want to meet me, you can meet me with our Bibles open. If you want to meet me, you can meet me with my friends gathered in prayer, gathered in our joy, gathered in our freedom, gathered in our mission, gathered in our outreach, because this is what I need to get. How do I get wisdom with all my getting? Exalt her, verse 8, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring you to honor when you embrace her. If we ask Jeremiah, how did you get the honor? I embraced the wisdom. Ruth, Esther, Job, Ezra, Nehemiah, how did you get it? You could say, I don't have much. I was thinking of it recently. I don't have the character. I don't have the character in trials. I don't have the character deep inside in my life. Not me, but I have Jesus. He's got the character. He's got the fight. He's got the nature of God. He is God. I've got God. If you go back to this picture here, how could we ever in this evil world have any sense of being able to be on God's side and have character like Christ and stand up and believe and embrace and have it? How could we ever have that? We would never, no way. But God came here, and you know, he died here for us. And now we have it. And one of the greatest tragedies of life is to walk away from it. Walk away from, I can do it. In my pride, I have rebellion. In my rebellion, I am illogical. I am illogical. I am stupid. In my rebellion, I do not know. I cannot do it. I don't have the nature and the character for it. But we have. Bible school is starting up in a couple weeks. Bible psychology class. Many of the other classes. You are welcome. Think about it. Enjoy it with all our getting. Let's get it in a fresh way. Let's get it in a personal way. Let's get it with all of our hearts. Whatever it means. With all of our hearts. And exalt her, and she shall promote you. Father, thank you for these thoughts this morning and for embracing this way of life, new way of the Spirit. We cannot assume that we know, we don't know. We cannot assume. We cannot assume we are able. We are not able. We cannot assume we have this covered, this Christianity, we got it nailed down. No, we cannot assume, but we are growing in you. And deliver us many times from ourselves in your name, and lead us in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're not a believer or listening on the internet, please believe in Jesus today. Come to him today. Come by faith in him, and he saves you. Amen.